I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting some very interesting responses to my little story about the popcorn I found buried deep in my cupboard. Now, here's the crazy part. I actually did purge my cupboard and my pantry when I moved from my old house. So I was in that house for 5 years. It makes sense that you would accumulate some stuff in the back of your cupboards and in your pantry that you hadn't seen in a while, and so you don't realize that it's expired. But every time I move, admittedly, it had been longer in one house than any other time since I was in New Hampshire. But I went through everything and didn't realize that popcorn had a best by date or best if used by date. And so I just happened to see it on Saturday when I was up on my footstool. I had really tall cupboards. I'm tall. I'm 5'10", but I still can't reach into the back of my cupboards at the very highest level, the highest shelves. So I was grabbing it and looking at it and realizing, oh, wait a minute. It was best 5 years ago. So I put that on Twitter and you all came back with some crazy responses. Some guy said to me, better to be safe than sorry. Like, what? You obviously don't know me if that's what you think. Especially when it comes to food. I don't waste things until I try them. And there are times that I've done this. I've tried to use a particular food product, maybe an ingredient, after its best by date. If you can't recognize it by the smell, like meat or dairy, well, then you sometimes just have to cook it and see what happens. And there have been times. You all may remember the snickerdoodle episode, the incident from last spring where I tried to make some snickerdoodles and the mix was pretty old, but I have no idea why Bisquick or any type of flour wouldn't work even after the best by date. So I haven't yet tried the popcorn. I definitely will this week and report back. But your tweets in response to that have been pretty funny. I like this one from, I don't know if this is who it is, but it's Izzy is the name on it. I'm not sure if these had an expiration date, but as late as the mid-1990s, my dad had some of those MREs, which are meals ready to eat, it's a military term. He had obtained from a friend who had them from the late 60s and early 70s while stationed in Vietnam. All right, those are not to eat. Those are collector's items. I wonder if you could even make money on them on eBay. Jimmy says, I have a piece of country cured bacon in my pantry that's 21 years old. Are you keeping it as a souvenir of days gone by? As I say, I hate throwing out food. But there are times where I have to draw the line. Our friend Mark Ernay, whose voice you can hear on the network every now and then, he says, we discuss this in my house all the time. Best buy dates aren't nearly the same as use, eat, or drink buy dates. Well, good then. I feel like I'm all set. How can popcorn possibly go bad? So far, it looks exactly the same. So you can definitely give me some of your food items that have been in your pantry or cupboard for far longer than 5 years, because I would believe it. I once had some Bisquick that was 20 years old, but it still helped. I mean, I used it all up and kind of my new baking phase. I had this old Bisquick and it Never failed me, not until it was all gone, even though it was literally 20 years old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I shouldn't be admitting that, should I? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Man Crush Monday poll is up. We've got the birthday boy Sunday. Luka Doncic turned 22. We've got Jason Tatum. You haven't heard his game winners yet. I know Peter Schwartz has been playing them in his updates. We'll let you hear those again. Giannis helping the Bucks win five in a row after they lost five in a row, and they're putting pressure on the top of the Eastern Conference. And then Devin Booker celebrating his late addition to the All-Star game with 43 points, a season high for him, as the Runs are also the Runs. Oh, my gosh.
I think I have to stop right there. So,
no one wants the Runs. Okay, so what happened was I was about to say the Suns are on a run, and then I was looking down at my paper and it said a 21-3 third quarter run, and somehow Suns came out Runs.
Poop fest.
Can we just not tell anyone about that?
Oh no!
Poop fest.
I got you. Thank you, Richard Sherman. Sometimes there's no way to recover from those things. I once called Mike Schmidt something else on the radio, and just I lost it. Complete convulsive laughter, and there was no way to recover. I stopped right in the middle of my sports update. This is going back years and years. I threw the paper up in the air because I had tears streaming down my face. So, the Runs are on a sun, if you will. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to do besides apologize and tell you that I'm an idiot. The guy who just wrote me and says he loves the show is about to take that back. He's about to retract that tweet.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Get a hold of yourself, Ames. All right. So the Suns are on a run, and that's all we need to say about that. Check out the Man Crush Monday poll that's on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, and I don't want you to have my Twitter address. Also on our Facebook page, easily named after the show, not hard to find. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. My mom uses my Facebook. She doesn't have her own page. She doesn't want her own page. Her husband, I don't even think her husband will let her have her own page, but she wouldn't use it enough anyway. Instead, she creeps on mine. And I get this text from my mom on Sunday afternoon. What's the password for your Facebook page? Hi, Mom. Yeah, she uses it to read what other people are doing. Every now and then she'll post on the page, or she'll reply to a post from a family member or someone that she knows from Northeast Ohio, since she's not there right now. And I'll see in my notifications, it pops up, such and such responded to your comment. Well, I didn't make any comments. I know Mom's been creeping again on my Facebook page. What's the password for your Facebook page, Amy? Happy to share, Mom. Anyway, you won't have to worry about Mom on our show Facebook page. I'm not even sure she knows the name of the show. But check out Man Crush Monday on either Twitter or Facebook. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Mentioned the return, the emotional return of Trey Mancini to 21 spring training. It's a whole new world. Hope springs eternal. And we use that phrase a lot when it comes to spring training and baseball, but it's different for Trey, of course. And for anyone who's had to battle a health challenge like he did, he turns 29 in just a few weeks, and he's already beaten stage 3 colon cancer, surgery, and treatment, and missed all of a season. It truncated as it was, he still missed an entire season and came back and was able to single in his first plate appearance, single to center. And as you can imagine, that was kind of a moment that made it all worth it.
But it was amazing. I almost teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. When I was up there and, you know, everybody gave me a standing ovation. And, you know, I saw the guys on the field clapping on the Pirates and in their dugout, and of course our team and all our fans, and it meant the world to me. So, yeah, it was a really, really cool moment and one of my favorite moments of my baseball career. And yeah, I think it was a huge day for me personally, getting back in a game. And yeah, just another kind of milestone that I can check off here.
I have chills just listening to Trey talk about getting back on the field. This is just a spring training game. So I am hoping that Orioles fans will be able to welcome him back properly, that there could be some fans in stands when they finally break camp and get to play at Camden Yards. He had 35 home runs and 97 RBI for the Orioles in 2019. And it seemed like 2020, even with the shortened version, would kind of catapult him to the next level. And then, of course, he ended up having surgery. He only had 5 spring training games last year. And then you remember spring training was shut down anyway in March, but he played just 5 spring training games and then had to have surgery for the cancer. And he said afterwards, after yesterday's game, that it was almost a year to the day when he was last in a game. So here we are talking about the year anniversary of essentially our lives changing dramatically and drastically, courtesy of COVID-19. But for Trey Mancini, it means something so different, and it's so much deeper. And there are a lot of people around the country, around the world, who've had additional health challenges or financial challenges or other hardships and obstacles they've had to face. And the virus and the shutdown only made things more complicated. And this last year has just been tough for a lot of people. So it's nice. I think Trey returning to Major League Baseball is a sweet little picture of what it's going to be like over the course of the spring as we start to reemerge and step back into our daily rhythms. At least that's my hope and my prayer. And I'm believing that that's where we're headed as we get into the midsection of 2021. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. A lot of you said that Trey Mancini is the athlete we need more of in 2021. Remember, we asked you that question last week, and a lot of you said Trey Mancini. So welcome back to Trey. Another welcome back is necessary for Tommy Pham. This is just a crazy story. And regardless of what you may think of him or what he was doing when he got stabbed in mid-October, the fact is he got stabbed in his lower back, and now he also has returned to spring training. And for him, it's with the Padres. And he was talking for the first time over the weekend about his recovery after that incident, again, going back to mid-October.
I mean, I was on bed rest for a little bit. I couldn't really move. The cut's deep. You know, the doctor here basically told me if I wasn't so muscular, I might be I might be dead or paralyzed.
So baseball doesn't seem nearly as important when you think about losing your life or potentially losing the ability to walk. And so for Tommy Pham to even be back at spring training is phenomenal. But yeah, stabbed in the lower back. It was an altercation in the parking lot of a strip club that could have been a whole lot worse. And the doctor tells him it's about his body type. That's what prevented this from being an injury that not only ended his baseball career, but changed his quality of life dramatically. And so for Pham, just the fact that he can sit and do a Zoom call is a major deal. To be able to talk to reporters, probably a luxury he'll never take for granted again.
I'm lucky to even be able to play. I thought I wasn't going to be able to play again when I got stabbed and I was getting rushed to the hospital. You know, I was on the phone with AJ and the training staff, or Rogo to be exact. I thought I wasn't going to be able to play.
He refers to GM AJ Preller and trainer Mark Rogo as he's talking about being on the phone. And I think there was some reaction too from the front office. Those are calls that you never want to get. Hey, a player got stabbed, or I got stabbed, or I'm in the hospital. And the San Diego Police Department still investigating, but now 4.5 months later, the scent has gone cold and no arrests have been made at this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Trey and Tommy returning to baseball in different circumstances, but still, talk about a sigh of relief and a major milestone. And then there's Albert Pujols, who may very well have have gone through as many milestones as you possibly can in a Major League Baseball uniform. This is a guy who is headed for Cooperstown, no doubt the Hall of Fame. And here we are kind of getting the idea this could be his last season. We don't know for sure, though, because he won't confirm it. But his wife, Deirdre, I don't remember which social media it was, but she said something about this being Albert's last season. And so the rumors, well, rumors, that report that gets around, her words get around, and now it's all anybody can ask about, right? So he's indicated that he hasn't made any decisions yet. Who knows if that's true or not? It may just be that he doesn't want to share that with us. Remember what Serena Williams said after her loss in the semifinals of the Australian Open? She was asked about her emotional exit from center court, and she said that even if she had decided it would be her last tournament down under, she certainly wouldn't tell anyone. Well, it may just be that Albert Pujols doesn't want to have this be a season-long farewell and a season-long tribute to him. Not only does it cause a massive distraction inside your own clubhouse, but it's also nonstop questions. Even if reporters aren't in your face, it's something you'd have to answer every single day. And as it turns out, he woke up from a nap last Monday to find his phone had blown up. Several hundred messages and missed calls on his phone. And if you think about it, you can trace it back to his wife, who had posted on Instagram. So I just looked it up. It was on Instagram. And there was this kind post about her husband that was interpreted that this was going to be his last season, his 21st in Major League Baseball. He's into his 40s now, but he's kind of given us the same line as what we've gotten from Drew Brees the last several years. He doesn't know if this will be the end of the road. Now, here's another piece of information that will factor into it. He is wrapping up a 10-year, $240 million contract with the Angels in 21. And so it's not just about if Albert Pujols wants to continue playing. It's also, will there be another contract offer? Would he be willing to go play somewhere else? All he's saying is that he's not making any decision until the season is over. But he's certainly looking forward to this upcoming full 2021 campaign.
Good positive energy, starting from the top all the way bottom. New coaches, new faces. And, you know, we only been here for a week that we start camp, and we already feel like family and just great communication. And I think, you know, to accomplish what we want, which is winning a championship ball club, you know, you have to have the trust, you have to have the communication, you have to have the veteran leadership, the young players, and you know, feel welcome. And I think that's what we're seeing over the last week or so here. And it's pretty exciting. It's going to be hopefully an exciting season. We have a really good ball club, a really good mix of veteran players, young players, key pieces, you know, that were missing in this organization that we're added into. And I'm really excited, you know, for 2021.
Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, Shohei Ohtani, Albert Pujols, definitely at the end of his career, but a 10-time All-Star. However, the Angels, 5 straight losing seasons, 6 years in a row without making the playoffs. They brought in Joe Maddon. It's obviously going to be a full campaign this year as opposed to the shortened 2020 season. It was only 60 games. If it is the swan song for Pujols, it would be fantastic to see him in the playoffs again. I mean, it'd just be really nice to see Mike Trout playing in October again, too. But Albert says he hasn't made any decisions. Here's one other nerd alert I'll throw at you just because it's significant. It's something that a lot of people will be paying attention to. He is 5th on the all-time home run list. And while he says that's not something he's thinking about, retirement's not something he's thinking about, he starts the new season with 662 home runs and 2,100 RBI. So top 5 in homers, 3rd most runs batted in the history of baseball. What he most cares about is making the playoffs. Maybe that's what drives him. because he says he can't watch when he's not in it. When he's not playing in October, that's my kind of competitor. I can't stand watching it when I'm not involved. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. 855-212-4227. You can cast your vote for Man Crush Monday, keeping in mind there are only four slots on the Twitter poll. So yell at us if you must. A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Another milestone in hockey on the weekend, too. So remember last week it was Sidney Crosby marking 1,000 games. Well, a different type of milestone for another player who feels like he's been in the NHL forever. And Jason Tatum. Why is he in our Man Crush Monday poll? Well, you will hear the reason next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ojala gets it in safe for the Tice. Celtics down three. Tatum catches. He had a three. Gives it up so he can drive. Goes to the left hand. Reverses it up and in. One to the end. One didn't get it. Now the Celtics have to foul, but the ball's inbounded to Beal. Beal steps on the end line. They're giving it back to the Celtics. No foul with 12 seconds to go. Boston gets the ball back. Down only one. Celtics return to the floor with Tice, Walker, Pritchard, Ojala, and Tatum triggering the under out of bounds from under the Washington basket. He has to get it in. Lobs it. Dangerous. Pritchard comes up with it at half court. 10 seconds to go. Return to Tatum against Beal on the left wing. Tatum spins. Goes quick at the baseline. Flips it up and in. With 4.7 to go, the Celtics grab the lead. Timeout, Scott Brooks.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics rally past the Wizards, end up winning this Sunday game by a single point. And there were two Tatum forays into the lane in the final 15 seconds where he twists and he turns and he drives. He's got such great body control. He finished with 31 points and these two huge buckets that you hear on the Celtics radio network with Sean Grandy. Kemba Walker, 21. Daniel Tice with 20 and 9 rebounds. And for the first time in over a month, the Celtics win back-to-back games, which puts them right in the crux of the action in the East. I mentioned this earlier. It's pretty insane. If you haven't looked at the NBA standings, especially in the Eastern Conference lately, it's a celebration of mediocrity. Everything is just fine. My mom will ask me, how did your show go? Or I'll say to her, how does my hair look? And her response is, I hope it went fine. Your hair looks fine. Mom, fine is average. It's blah. It's nothing. It's mediocre. She doesn't see fine as being defined that way, but I do. And so most of the Eastern Conference in the NBA is fine. This is pretty crazy, though. You have seven teams with 17 losses. Seven of them. And then if you look from where the New York Knicks are, whoop, whoop, New York Knicks sitting at number 4 in the Eastern Conference because right now they're a game above 500 and because they have won 3 in a row. But you look at the Knicks sitting at that 4th place spot as we cruise toward the All-Star break. They've got 17 losses but 18 wins. Then you've got the Heat, the Celtics, the Raptors all at 17 and 17. The Hornets, the Pacers, the Bulls all have 17 losses but at fewer wins. And so from number 4 in the East, which is the Knicks, to number 10 in the East, all of those teams, and there are a bunch of ties in there as well, all of those teams are separated by a game and a half. Seven teams separated by a game and a half. Now, we still have a long way to go, but this is why I've been harping on not taking your pedal off the floor. Kick Saban a beauty. Not taking your foot off the pedal as you cruise toward the All-Star break because every little win matters right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. In the NHL, there were no foiled attempts at outdoor games, although I don't even need a game to enjoy the scenery at Lake Tahoe. But that wasn't what was on the agenda for the weekend in the NHL. Instead, yet another milestone for a player that, man, it feels like he's been around forever.
DeBrincat pulls it free. DeBrincat and Kane on a 2-on-1 break over the wing line. Kane to the left circle. Pulls up. Holds. Fires. He scores! Number 400 for Patrick Kane! Finally, he's able to beat a goaltender with a shot. And the Hawks all celebrate with Patrick Kane, a group hug right at the Red Wing blue line. Kane with a brilliant wrist shot past Thomas Grice.
Once you get it, it's kind of nice to get it out of the way, especially with 3 days off. And, you know, just worry about playing good hockey and playing the way I know how to play. So, you know, you try to have that mindset going into the game. But, you know, it's probably in the back of your mind a little bit, especially once you're near that number. So, like I said, nice to get it over with tonight and, you know, enjoy the next few days with my family and at practice and get ready for Tampa.
Patrick Kane's never been one to really express himself emotionally in a post-game press conference, but the 100th NHL player with 400 career goals. It's kind of cool symmetry, isn't it? 100 NHL players with exactly 400 goals, or now more, obviously. He's got time. He's 32 years old, 12 years of NHL experience. So another one of those guys, along with a Sidney Crosby, who's still only in his 30s, and it feels like I can't even remember the NHL without these guys. Kane, of course, multiple Stanley Cups. He's been a driving force for the Blackhawks for a long time. John Weidman on the Blackhawks radio network. Now, still in Chicago, they are without fans, which is the only thing that Patrick Kane would change.
Would be nice to have, you know, my parents here for sure. And you know, Amanda and my son, but that's the way it is in this world right now. So I guess tonight it was just nice to enjoy it with my teammates, and they seemed pretty excited for me, and a lot of support from them guys. So nice to share with them and the coaches.
They seemed pretty excited for me. I'm sure that they were. Man, some really cool moments over the weekend. Lots of different circumstances, but Trey Mancini and his emotional return to baseball. And we talked about Patrick Kane's milestone. Albert Pujols getting in front of the Zoom conference, press conference, and talking about what may or may not be his final season. Of course, we're talking about it. He's not really talking about it. Devin Booker goes for 43. The Bucks win 5 straight after losing 5 straight. The Lakers get to rest LeBron, though he hates talking about it, but they start out hot against the Warriors and essentially run him out of Staples Center. And then if you missed it, a lot of red shirts on the golf course in Florida on Sunday. We'll get to that straight ahead. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Take our Monday. Nope. It's Man Crush Monday. It was Monday MVP for the NFL season, but we change it and we revert back to Man Crush Monday. So you can take our poll either on Twitter or on our Facebook page. It's always good to kind of usher in a new work week and think about the possibilities. And man, it's starting to get to that point in we won't call it spring yet. I know there's spring weather in some places, but starting to get to that point in the calendar as we say hello to March, where there's pretty much everything possible going on every single weekend. So it gets a little cray cray, which is what Todd Durkin called Drew Brees over the weekend. Cray cray. He's cray cray. Not something I've ever thought about with Drew Brees before, but he's definitely maniacal.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ten seconds left. Hornets down two. LaMelo to his right. Back to Monk. Monk, stop and go. Into the lane. Up off the contact lane. Yes! Plus the foul! 1.4 remaining. And Malik Monk is going to the line to put the Hornets up. My goodness, what a comeback. Monk, free throw. Yes! Hornets lead, 127-126. Inbound to Hield. Half court heave at the buzzer. Off the front iron. And the Queen City will wear the crown tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Hornets radio network, Charlotte edging Sacramento on the road in California. 127-126. Oh, the new NBA. It's all about the scoring, and these scores are, in fact, fairly routine. PJ Washington, a big reason why. In fact, we discussed whether or not to include PJ in our Man Crush Monday poll. 42 points in 42 minutes to go along with 9 rebounds, a couple assists, a couple steals, and 2 block shots. So an all-around driving performance from PJ, who logged the most minutes for the Hornets. And they're a fun team to watch. LaMelo Ball is got a lot of people paying attention. Maybe the Ball brother that will be able to restore good will to the family name. But yeah, he's been a lot of fun to watch. He had 24 points in this game, but PJ Washington, the star of the show. And so I'm sorry he's not included in our Man Crush Monday poll, but you're always allowed to send your write-in ballots and we will consider them. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page as well, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Drew is in Charlotte. Welcome to After Hours.
Woo, AV, I love you. First of all, that's first of all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, let's get onward to the love for PJ Washington on Man Crush Monday.
All right, that's where you come in. Yep.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so I'm going to take you back to the genesis of where I came up with the nickname Pippen Jr., which is who PJ Washington is. I just want everyone to realize we're watching Pippen Jr. come up in the NBA, in today's NBA. And I love this because it's Michael Jordan's team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, it would be if they could keep this momentum, if they could keep these players. They obviously did themselves, well in the draft. We just mentioned Ball. He was able to, Michael in the front office, able to lure in Gordon Hayward. As you mentioned, PJ Washington. He's early, though, in his NBA career, so we're just seeing him develop. This was obviously a huge game for him. But, yeah, you come out of Kentucky, you generally do have a good basketball pedigree. Not that you don't need to learn and get adjusted to life in the pros, but you know, coming from a blue blood school like that, that you're already a step ahead, or you should be. And so, yeah, it's been fun. I love his big smile, too. It's fun when they're enjoying themselves.
Can I say this?
Don't ask, just say it. Let's go.
All right. This team is an Andre Drummond acquisition away from being the Denver Nuggets of the East. And on top of that, what is going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Nothing.
And Andre Drummond? This is unfair. That's a hardworking NBA veteran, Adam Silver. You need to step in, man.
And do what?
What they're doing to Andre Drummond is wrong.
What should
and
they do?
And I don't
do?
Know why it's not being talked about more.
It's being talked about. It's being talked about. He's under contract. They don't want him to get hurt because that would obviously trade... change the trade value, but what would you recommend? I'm open for solutions. What do you recommend, Drew?
I would recommend that the Cavaliers buy him out and let him go. What are you doing to this man? What is wrong with you people?
Well, they don't. They don't.
Go.
They
Why
don't.
Do you
hold
have
on.
To torture
Drew. It's not torture. They don't want to let him go for nothing. That's the point, is that you're waiting to see what kind of an offer you can get. You don't want to let a commodity like that go. Now, he's still getting paid. NBA contracts are guaranteed, so he's getting paid. But they're trying to make a smart business decision. And I know, like, it's not fair, but when is life ever fair? I mean, this is part of having guaranteed contracts in the NBA, is that the team has a little bit of leverage. I mean, these guys make a lot of money, and it would be devastating for the Cavaliers, not to mention for Drummond himself, if he ended up getting hurt and they ended up seeing this whole thing go up in smoke.
I don't know, man. There needs to be something in the CBA where you shouldn't be allowed to do this to players. This is unfair, and it's wrong, and I don't care what kind of platitudes we want to make about it. If a man wants to play basketball, he should be allowed to play basketball. Like, period. Like, this is stupid. Like, cut the contract. I guess they would cut the contract if they could, but he's not going to cut the contract, is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's still getting paid, so it's not like the man's going destitute. But here on the flip side, though, Drew, do you have the same thought and the same passion about a player choosing not to play when he wants out, or about James Harden showing up out of shape and essentially dogging it? I mean, that's the term that Draymond Green used, but just making himself public enemy number one in his own locker room so that he could force his way out of town. I mean, is that something that you prefer? Because to me, that just feels like two sides of the same coin.
Okay. I don't prefer that, but you know, I've never had to, quite experienced that, I guess, but I don't.
That's not what I was asking. I was just asking if you believe that that's okay. It's okay for players to force their way out when they're under contract. It's okay for them to act like a total unprofessional, completely disrespectful of the other guys in the locker room, a brand new head coach, and to essentially, I don't want to say he refused to play, but he put himself in a position where the protocols would kick in, so he showed up fat or overweight and late, and then made it very clear that he didn't want to be there, to the point where it became an untenable situation. Anthony Davis, going back to that situation, he disrupted an entire locker room in New Orleans when he wanted out and they didn't want to trade him, and it became a situation where they had to keep him on the bench because the rest of the team was so upset, and it created such a firestorm inside their own locker room.
Well,
I'm just asking if you feel the same way about it when it's the player who's the catalyst.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think movement should be allowed. There should be there needs to be some work on getting things in writing that creates some sort of legislative dialogue that, you know, there's some sort of gray area to operate in for both parties.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
You know what I mean?
I actually think this is a gray area, and I'm not sure how you legislate it. And I haven't heard Andre Drummond say, "I want to play, free me, let me play." Maybe I've just missed it. And there is a real good chance he's going to end up getting traded before the deadline. Right now, it's the Raptors, the Nets, the Celtics, the Heat that are rumored to be most interested in him. The teams in the East that are trying to separate themselves and understanding that come playoff time, they need a big body to put around Giannis Antetokounmpo or Joel Embiid, both players that cause headaches. And so you do have some teams that are interested, and there's no reason why the Cavaliers would keep him if they could get something for him, because they're in clear rebuild mode, as you point out. Drew, thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. It's not a perfect situation, I agree, but it's not always one that's precipitated by the team. There are times, remember Kawhi Leonard, who was away from the team, he wanted out, he didn't want to play for the Spurs anymore. The Spurs had physically and medically cleared him, and yet he was away in New York, and he was with his trainer, and his own doctors would not clear him, so he wouldn't play. He essentially refused to play. Anthony Davis, same kind of thing, didn't want to play for the Pelicans anymore. We know James Harden made it so bad in Houston that they finally gave him what he wanted. So, the situation's not perfect, but this is the CBA that they live under. And so I can understand. I'm not saying that I like it. If it were me, I would be angry as all get out. But if it's in the CBA and they can do this to try to protect their investment, so looking at Andre Drummond as a valuable trade commodity, he's still getting paid. Does he want to play again? I don't really know whether or not he wants to play for the Cavaliers right now. It sounds like he's really interested in moving on and going somewhere else. The Knicks are a team that reportedly he's interested in joining. So I can imagine he just wants to go to a contender and get out of there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We were just talking about PJ Washington at the start of that phone call, and I saw that his age is 22, which is the age that Luka Doncic now is after his birthday on Sunday. And he and the Mavericks helped to end the Nets' 8-game winning streak on Saturday night, and it was kind of cool to hear what James Harden had to say about young Doncic, who at the time was only 21.
He plays at his own pace, and I mean, there's some similarities, you know. He never lets anyone speed him up, and he gets what he wants, you know. And that's rare for a guy, you know, at a young age. I think he's what, 21 years old, to be able to dictate the game and control the game like he does. So, obviously, we all know he has a very, very bright future, and the Mavs got a special one.
The Mavs definitely did, and they absolutely know it. And so the Mavericks able to hold the Nets under 100 points, but worth pointing out that you did not have Kevin Durant. He's not expected to return before the All-Star break, though he is still going to be a captain. And Kyrie Irving sideline as well, which I kind of expect. Kyrie is in and out of the lineup, in and out of the lineup. LeBron James would be disgusted. But Durant actually is a bigger concern. He's missed 7 straight games now. And Irving was more about the load management for his right shoulder that gets bulky every now and then. But this was a fun primetime showcase for Luka Doncic on his final night of being 21 years old. He had 27, and the Mavericks are back to 500. Now, I'd heard that they were shopping Kristaps Porzingis, of course, a name that's familiar to Knicks fans, and this was supposed to be the match made in heaven with the Mavericks, the core two for Mark Cuban to build around. But there's word out there. He obviously not as durable as they would like. He's had a lot of injuries on and off the court. When he is healthy, he can be magnificent, and he can be a great complement to Luka Doncic. But it sounds like Cuban is kind of done with the on-again, off-again, and is ready to move on. So we'll see whether or not that's a trade that happens before the deadline that comes up much later in March. Good Monday morning to you. 1 hour to go here after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Big ballers, man.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.